Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to The Pull Bag.
You've just jumped inside The Pull Bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside The Pull Bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside The Pull Bag.
Hello, and welcome to The Pull Bag. This is episode 420.5. I hope to God I get episode 420 recorded, because as of right now, I don't have it recorded. Anyway, I'm, of course, TFG1 Mike. Joining me, as usual, for Transformers and Beast Wars from IDW Publishing, Steve Megatron. Hello.
Ah, yes. Welcome.
Welcome to the only place that you can hear the real Beast Wars Megatron. Besides the actual David K. Beast Wars Megatron, but at least here at the Geekcast Radio Network, we actually have a resident Megatron that actually sounds like Megatron.
So what you're saying is...
You're not a groveling fool.
Don't you see how everything you do here is futile, Primal? Yes,
exactly. We are here to talk about the final issue of the first arc of Transformers Beast Wars from IDW. As I said, this is issue number 6. It is Savage Landing Part 6. Written by Eric Burnham, art by Josh Burcham, letters by Jake M. Wood. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer, editor is David Mariette, and supervising editor is Tom Waltz. We get the standard, you know, previously on the story so far thing, and we get the cast, and we open up with Tarantulas. He's aboard the Axalon. And we're getting your favorite here, right? Rat Trap always wins.
Yeah, it's a given.
And I love, because as of this recording, I'm in the middle of dealing with the top 100 Transformers characters countdown here on the Geekcast Radio Network as far as the editing and getting clips and whatever else. So I've seen enough Tarantulas episodes to remember this. Like, why are cats so stupid? Like, one time that he was facing off against Cheetor. Well, apparently he can win against Cheetor. He can't win against Rat Trap. So anyway, Tarantulas is here, and he's trying to sabotage the ship, but he sees the tech lab, and he just can't help himself because he's Tarantulas, and, you know.
He has to get involved.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We go outside to the battle that started in the last issue, and Dinobot is basically destroying Waspinator. Poor Waspinator.
Yeah, he just rips his arm right off.
Yeah.
My arm.
Yep, and he basically beats him to death with it. I know Waspinator is not this character, and I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. You might have. 1999, there was an MTV film called Varsity Blues with James Van Der Beek and Ron Lester, may the man rest in peace, and John Voight was in it, and it's about this football team and whatever else. And in it, Ron Lester plays Billy Bob, and Billy Bob is a big hulking dude and, you know, whatever. And in one of the scenes, he, you know, says to the coach, "That needle goes anywhere near Wendell's legs, I'll rip your arms and legs off and beat you to death with them." As soon as I see Dinobot smack Waspinator with his own arm, that's what I think of. And Cheetor's like, "What? He's on our side now?" And Pterosaur's like, "Yeah, doesn't matter. He can't save you."
Scorponok.
Yeah, Scorponok. Jeez. I love the art. I love the writing. The shadows on this panel where you see Megatron and Pterosaurs talking and everything else. And I'm like, oh, wow, that is just so cool. Josh did an amazing job with the shadows on the back of Pterosaur. And I know it's not this because it's – I'm pretty sure they're out in the middle of the desert. But it looks like they're on like a – it looks like they're in Mr. Wilson's backyard actually, because – even though that's a cliff, that's the scene that I'm talking about with the shadows on the back of Pterosaur.
Yeah.
Even though it's a cliff, the brown part to me looks like a brown picket fence. Of course, you know, I'm blind, so there is that. So we get back to Tarantulas, and he's doing his normal shtick and Rat Trap's in the vents. And Rat Trap's like, oh, this is going to be good. I love Rat Trap versus Tarantulas because, as we've already said, Rat Trap always gets the better of Tarantulas.
Well, that's because Rat Trap bides his time and sneaks, whereas Tarantulas is just a cackling buffoon. Mm-hmm. He's your typical mad scientist, full of himself, not thinking about repercussions of, you know, his grand designs.
Mm-hmm.
And it bites him in the butt a lot.
Yes, and then we get back to Megatron against Primal, and Megatron says,
"Don't you see how everything you do here is futile, Optimus Primal? The history of Cybertron is being written, yes, here and now. But if you surrender and die with dignity, I shall allow a brief mention of your pointless valor in our official record."
I am no Gary Chalk, folks, but Megatron, don't you... you talk too much. And then Rhinox charges Scold, I believe.
Scold, yep.
Yes, yeah, that is Scold. And we get more Megatron, as always.
Yes, more Megatron monologuing.
"I suppose it's possible that I'll pay dearly for one day for my generosity. Very well, Optimus Primal, you will stand against me to your end. But I remain generous despite that. I shall still allow your name to grace the historical records of my new empire."
Incoming! And then, sadly, Megatron blasts Nyx, who gets hit, and we cut back to Tarantulas. And you want to do those ones, too?
Oh, Tarantulas?
"This is inconceivable. These systems are practically obsolete. By my standards, they shouldn't be able to hold me back."
"Maybe you're just too dumb to work it out."
"What?"
"Hey, it's me, your pal, the Vermin. I'm sick of hiding. I'm sick of hearing you talk to yourself. And more than anything, I'm sick of you messing with my ship."
"You're sick, are you? Then I'll just have to put you out of your...
misery." Oh, I thought that was... Anyway. Yes, I love this. I'm not too thrilled with Rat Trap having this contraption, but I understand why. It's not the end of the... It's hilarious, it is. I was expecting him to do something else, but this works. I mean, it's not the end of the world, and he eventually does kick Tarantulas out of the ship.
Well, Tarantulas is an idiot.
True.
And he deserves the butt kicking that he gets, so.
Yep. And Rat Trap gets the shields back up and the force field, and he asks the computer, like, "What's the maximum range of our defensive force fields?" 25 meters. "Put them on full strength and patch me into all maximal comms." And damn. Rat Trap is smart, man. I always knew he was. Hey, kids, shields are back up. Get yourself to cover. We'll go from there. I love this. I think this is great. Sadly, Dinobot can't get through, though, because Dinobot is still a Predacon, and it's only the shields. I find this interesting. The shields are only tied to maximal coding.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a Predacon being able to get past the defenses. So,
true.
Yeah, it's surprising he didn't change his activation code yet.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Why hasn't he changed the activation code yet? I was like, wait a second. What's going on here? However, I'm liking that he hasn't yet because of what eventually happens later in this issue. So, absolutely. And Dinobot goes on to say, I've fought them all before, I can do it again. And Megatron says,
the difference between then and now, my dear Dinobot, is that last time you had the element of surprise. You attacked while we tripped over each other on the dark side. But this time, you're well and truly surrounded.
There are only 5 of you. I'll make this quick.
Only 5? Perhaps you should count again.
Count?
That hurt.
I told you I'd get revenge for ruining my prototype.
And I told you you were surrounded. Predacons, terrorize!
And then there's the battle. And, wow. They basically gang up on him. It's basically a gang initiation, even though he was already a Predacon. Holy crap, that scene.
I know, they're doing the ultimate beatdown.
Uh-huh. You want to talk about color, man. The fact that all the Predacons are in shadowy purple colors, the background is nothing but red with a white streak. Oh my god, I love Josh and his art. The man needs to win awards, he deserves it.
Well, especially because he's showing brutality without having to necessarily show all the detail.
Yeah, absolutely. And they figure out that they can fire through the shields. And this leads to my favorite image of this issue, which is the art for this episode of the podcast, where Optimus Primal says, he goes and says, that'll do, computer, engage plasma cannons. What? That was a dual pulse plasma cannon, what we like to call an offensive deterrent. Not much compared to what's on a warship, but it'll still reduce you to sludge if I give the order. So leave now before the order is given. Do you need a countdown? Megatron just has this glare look on his face. I love that image. Oh, man.
Well, because you can imagine him going...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And the Predacons retreat. But not before Megatron says one final line.
Maximals never did understand the difference between winning a battle and winning a war. You were a fool to not press your advantage, Optimus Primal, and you will pay for it with your life one day. Mark my words, Megatron will be victorious.
Mm-hmm. We get an epilogue in this issue 2 days later, or several days later, and Optimus and Rhinox are doing training, as they've done in the past in the comic. And they talk about, Optimus's actions and mistakes and that kind of stuff. I love it.
Makes you wonder a little bit about Rhinox's past and why he's this kind of mentor role.
Yeah. Well, he always was that wise old Maximal.
To some degree. I mean...
Yeah. I mean, especially in this, he seems obviously older, and Optimus seems young. Obviously, Optimus is the younger leader in this one, so...
Yeah, he's more green.
Yeah. And they're talking about Dinobot, and Dinobot is like, yeah, I'm going to leave, and I'll save you the effort for dismissing me, and this, I love that Eric Burnham did this in the writing. Do you know the significance of the designation Dinobot? I don't. And then we go into the explanation of who the Dinobots were. And I love that connection. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. And we get, you know, the final pages here. And Dinobot... Dinobot says, I'm not staying. I told you I can't fight like I once did. And Optimus says, I'd still be honored if you'd stay. I accept. I'm glad. Now take some time to rest and we'll talk more later. I want to know all I can about Megatron. And then next, Black Arachnia.
Should be interesting.
Oh, I cannot wait. And the cool thing about that one is that I have sort of made a more of a pullback decision than an All Things Transformers decision or Beast Unleashed decision. I want to do that arc in multiples. So we'll do two issues at a time. So 7 and 8 and then 9 and 10 kind of thing. Because what I learned from us doing this first arc is that one issue sometimes just wasn't there wasn't enough to discuss. Like, yes, we just basically told everybody the issue. Yes, you did an awesome job doing the lines. As I said in this so far, I really enjoyed Josh's art, Eric's writing. That whole Dinobots thing, the connection to the Dinobots, I loved that. I thought that was great writing. The characters and how they interact with each other is great. That whole scene with Optimus and Rhinox, so cool. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, anytime they can do a callback, it's really cool. Because that usually doesn't happen.
No. What was your thought on the writing overall for this one?
Oh, I loved it. I love all the monologuing by Megatron. I love the interactions between... Rat Trap and Tarantulas. I love the, Tarantulas's secret weapon from, you know, Beast Machines kind of comes into play again a little early with his little machine. But yeah, I mean, I was very, very happy to see what they did in this issue.
Yeah, it was so good. So, so good. Absolutely love it. Again, the art. What's so great about this art is that this is prehistoric Earth. They haven't even come. And we're doing, as you've said in other episodes that we've done of this comic, this is season one Beast Wars. This is not season two. This is not season three. This is not them having to make up stories to continue the comic, because again, like you've said in some of the other episodes, is that, you know, if they had a season four, they would have done this or that or whatever. I don't know how long this comic is going to go on. I hope it gets as many issues as it can get. I hope that IDW continues to stay in business and continues to have the license, because there have been rumors that IDW, and I know that there has been actual factual information that they've been struggling lately, and it sucks that they've been struggling as a comic book company, as all comic book companies struggled to find various ways to do things in the last year and a half or whatever it is. And I just hope that this story gets, that this series gets the stories and whatever that it deserves, because this is a franchise that deserves to have Eric Burnham writing on it and telling the story. Like, literally, to me, this is seeing Beast Wars in a whole new light 25 years later.
Oh, yeah, totally. I honestly love the job that they're doing with the Beast Wars comic, especially when, you know, the visual media isn't as appealing. You don't have to worry about voice actors or voice directors. You don't have to worry about any of that because it's all in your mind.
Yep. And it all comes out of your mouth. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely love it. Again, 5 out of 5 for me. What about you?
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah. There wasn't even any nitpicks. There wasn't any, if I really want to nitpick something, I didn't see Skuld enough or Nyx enough because they are new characters and we need to know more about them. However, I know at some point we will learn more about them as the series goes along. Coming up next in August is something that was supposed to happen back in March of this year, but it didn't, but it's happening now. We have a TMNT month here inside the pull bag. My buddy Joe Reed and I have already recorded episodes 421 to 425, and holy shnikes, folks, you are in for a surprise. If you guys like reading the IDW comics, or if you haven't read the IDW comics, we've been covering those here inside the pull bag since 2014. And coming up in August, we finish out for the 100 issues that IDW TMNT got. We get Bebop and Rocksteady Hit the Road in episode 421. In 422 and 423, it's City at War parts 1 and 2. Hello, folks. So I am interrupting where I'm talking about what's coming up next here inside the pull bag because I realized after Steve and I recorded this, episode 424... of the pullbag, which is our TMNT Shredder in Hell recording. I didn't split up the episodes. We took a break in one episode. So episode 424, one episode for the Shredder in Hell IDW TMNT miniseries. Now, here's what else I had to say. Then episode 425 will be issue 100 of TMNT. And then in September, we get Scooby-Doo Team-Up Volumes 3 and 4. We'll have a couple origins. We'll have more Radiant Black stuff. Sorry about the Radiant Black delay. But we will also have Transformers Beast Wars 7 and 8 with the new arc with Winston Chan on art for that, the next arc. And after that, I don't know what's going on here inside the pull bag. Although, on all things Transformers, we've got the top 100 Transformers characters countdown going on, so that's what's going on here inside all things Transformers. Anything else you want to say before we get the heck out of here?
No, I think I'm good.
Awesome. Where can the people find you online, sir?
They can find me on the Twitters at SCP21.
I am at TFG and Mike. You can hear all the other information in the outro, as I'm still using the outro Steve recorded from 2019, but that's okay, because it has all the information that I want in there, so there you go. Make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time, folks, here inside the pull bag.
Now this is the party I expected!
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pull Bag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Diecast Construction.
It's a lost art.